This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:13 in the evening and you're with Lynn and Cam on the evening edition. And we're moving on now to discussing the National Automotive Policy 2020, which was launched by Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad earlier today. So you may remember that the NAP 2014 had a focus on developing Malaysia as a hub for EEVs or energy efficient vehicles. And this policy kind of continues that focus on keeping up with the times in an era of, and now I'm going to quote the actual policy, digital industrial transformation.
Yeah, okay, that's a lot of words, really. But what it comes down to is three main strategies: human capital development, value chain development, and this is one category, safety, environment, and consumerism.
I didn't realize those went together.
Apparently they do. And also seven roadmaps and blueprints, which get more granular, exploring areas such as robotics and the Internet of Things.
Yeah, so it is a pretty dense, rather dry document, but it does lay out a lot of important things for this industry that we seem to constantly be talking about when it comes to our country. And some of the main headlines that have been coming out today include the development of, wait for it, two national cars and one national motorcycle, and also APs for the import of foreign vehicles continuing to stick around. Overall, there's really a lot to kind of pass through because the NAP does come with the promise, as we discussed earlier during Market Wrap, of contributing 104.2 billion ringgit to Malaysia's GDP over the next 10 years. So, Cam, we spent today kind of looking at the document. What say you?
I can't really say what I want to say. I am not fully convinced. I had a look at a couple of things. Proton, export. Proton has been in existence for how long? 100 years? Mm-hmm. And last year, it exported, I don't know if you can guess how many cars. This is according to The Edge, which was quoting Proton itself. It exported a staggering 1,635 cars. I don't personally understand what the value is of a car industry if it's not involved in export. 1,635 is not very many. That's worth apparently about 55 million ringgit. Mm. Now, the new NAP is talking about, by the year 2030, so over about 10 years, exporting cars to the value of 12.3 billion ringgit. Now, obviously, Proton is not the only car manufacturer, but I don't think Peugeot gets too heavily involved in export either. That is ratcheting things up by, my math is not good enough to work out the exponential growth necessary to go from something like 55 million just for Proton to 12.3 billion. I'm assuming that by the year 2030, it would have made 12.3 billion.
Sure.
So that would require a network of sales staff overseas, sales staff, marketing, advertising. And it has to be happening, well, just instantaneously.
So, okay, I think we're reading this slightly differently, although I cannot argue with your impeccable math, of course. But when I hear, you know, what you're saying about that network that's required, for me, when I look at, I mean, when you look at the things like the roadmaps and the blueprints, it's from somebody who's not in the industry, it is very difficult to kind of bring that down to a more sort of layperson understanding of what exactly those things will encompass. But when you look at the statements and announcements that have been made surrounding this, there seems to be a very big focus on upskilling. There seems to be a very big focus on trying to create a value chain, right, with not solely relying on what ends up with what the exports total up to, but also the kinds of learning and innovation and other industries that are going to be getting involved all along the way, benefiting through that. Now, this, of course, is the best case scenario. And I confess that when I look at the roadmaps and the strategies, I can't say that, you know, oh, I know for certain that in 10 years it's going to contribute this much. I'm positive. But I like, I suppose, the emphasis on learning. I appreciate that. I appreciate that we seem to be acknowledging that while we try to prioritize EEVs, that there is still this real need to keep up with the changing demand of markets elsewhere, you know, around the world, of how people have a changing idea of what a car is as well. So I appreciate that much.
Yeah, but things are happening so rapidly, and this is now supposed to be projecting to 2030. We have absolutely no idea what's going to be, what a car will be by 2030, even if there will be cars. And certainly, will they be petrol driven? I don't know. But you mentioned the energy efficient vehicles, which were part of the 2014
policy.
I didn't know that until I just discovered that that was the case.
Mm.
I do not remember seeing an superabundance of energy efficient vehicles wandering around our streets.
No, there has been talk of it. I'm not sure we've seen that much of it. I do also, I think when I saw that idea of a national car, not just one national car, but two, and a national motorcycle thrown along as a bonus, I did feel a little bit of my heart sinking, despite me going on and on about, yeah, we're going to grow, we're going to learn new things all along the way. And I know that the national car projects have always been used in that light, right? It's like, it's not just about having a national car, it's about all the innovation.
Yeah, the clusters and the designers and the engineers. And that's the argument that's been put out for decades now.
Correct. But whether or not we continue to be excited by this, or whether that is a line of thought that people buy, I don't know if that's true anymore.
I don't know. Yeah.
So the National Automotive Policy 2020, that's the NAP, as Cam took trouble to emphasize earlier, NAP, not NEP. That's been announced and released today. Have you had the opportunity to kind of look at it, think about it? What are your impressions of it? What do you think of the National Car Project continuing to be a thing? You can call us and let us know, 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, we're crossing over to Anthony Lim from paultan.org for his views on the newly launched policy. Anthony, thank you so much for joining us. So prior to this, there had been quite a wait for the NAP to be launched. Why was there that delay?
Well, I really can't say why there has been that long of a delay, but it looks like there was a plan to try to incorporate a lot of new emerging elements and tech into the new policy. And that really is an ongoing process because of how fast things move.
So now that it's out, what direction does the NAP 2020 drive us towards? And how is this different from previous policies, especially when it comes to the focus on energy efficient vehicles, which also got quite a bit of focus in the 2014 NAP?
I think if you take a look at the outline, you will find that the idea is to work towards developing a competitive and capable domestic automotive industry in the next decade, and working towards making the country a regional leader in manufacturing and technology. Now, it really is an expansion of that outline in NAP 2014. EVs were the main focus in the previous NAP, and this one continues to have that, but expands on things to look at next generation vehicles, for example, which aren't just necessarily EVs or fuel cell, but vehicles that will be energy efficient. So I guess that's still very much a focal point, just in different forms.
Mm. And what are some of the identified strategies in the policy that are going to push us forward in that direction?
Well, based on the policy, growth will come from a few new areas, and the main contributions will come from research of new technologies and the creation of business and job opportunities that these will offer.
MITI has said that these roadmaps and blueprints will be continuously reviewed and updated to remain in step with trends and technology. How often will this need to happen?
I would like to think that they need to be fleshed out in greater detail as it goes along. Right now, much of it looks like blueprints that are very wide in scope, but not detailed. How often? Well, I'd hazard as often as necessary, taking into account that this is a 10-year plan and scopes and tech could easily change.
And, you know, we were talking earlier about that focus on upskilling and also ensuring that our automotive industry actually keeps up with changing demands. Right now, then, how far away are we from more advanced countries in this regard?
Well, the plan is to develop local talent further than it is now, and the new directions in automotive and mobility technology should hopefully increase the skill sets. Still, how far we progress collectively remains to be seen. In terms of depth, there are some players that are already there, but on the whole, much is still needed to be done.
To what extent do you think the policy will really improve Malaysia's capacity in automotive engineering on the global stage?
I think that if executed right, there will be quite a bit of advancement, at least from a knowledge and learning point of view. Now, it really depends on whether these opportunities come to fruition and how the entire collective absorbs it when it is presented. Like I said, we do have some players capable of competing on the global stage, but will the scope widen? That really is up to us as a nation, isn't it?
Who knows where that's going. So, you know, there have also been a lot of conversations about developing our public transport system in order to address problems like congestion and carbon emissions. Does the NEP go in line with this?
Well, the idea that newer cars, as they come along, will have better fuel consumption should conversely also mean that CO2 emissions should also go down. One of the objectives in the NEP 2020 is to reduce the carbon emissions from vehicles by improving fuel economy level in Malaysia by 2025. In line with the ASEAN fuel economy roadmap, I think, which is about 5.3 litres per 100 kilometres. Currently, the classification is 6 litres per 100 km for city cars, and I think about 6.3 litres for a small family car. As for congestion, I don't think that's really going to change in the short to medium term, especially when there are so many cars already on the road, and everyone will still need to drive to get to where they are, most of the time anyway.
Overall, do you feel that the NAP sufficiently addresses what's important in our automotive industry today?
Well, it's a policy, and policies by and large look at the big picture. By that token, the NAP doesn't have a direct impact on the current state of affairs. Of course, people will think it's a bit underwhelming because they want to know what the plans for, say, electrification are, and if cars will become cheaper or more expensive. And this is, of course, related to excise duties, which are really separate from a policy such as this.
And Anthony, one last question before you go. What was your reaction to the announcement about the two national cars and one national motorcycle?
I think that what was heard at the event was misconstrued, and the companies in question that were referenced were existing players, in this case, Proton, Perodua, and motorcycle manufacturer Modenas, which were all present and had showcases at the event. The only national car that is new is the Dream Edge project, which is underway.
Right. Anthony, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Anthony Lim from paultan.org weighing in on the National Automotive Policy 2020, which was, of course, just announced today. So, Cam, are you further along to being convinced?
Well, Anthony knows a lot more about the industry than I will ever know. And he, I'm glad he set us straight on the miscommunication perhaps over the two national cars and one national motorbike. And yet I will add one last thing.
Yes.
Thailand, which has no national car, produced for export alone 1 million cars last year. And they don't have a national car. But they got jobs.
Look. Do we all think that the whole national car idea is perhaps, you know, baggage that we're carrying around with us at this point, you know, a point of pride and all that? I can't speak for everybody. I do think that it is that. I agree with you that you can probably get jobs and you can get innovation and learnings in other ways. I think when it comes to Malaysia, there is still this sense of sometimes doing things by the book, doing things the way that they've always been done. And I think that there is a little bit of that sort of vibe within the NEP 2020. It could be just me. We have this from KW, who says, I've said this many times. No leader should lay out a plan longer than their elected term. All these roadmaps will disappear once the leader steps down. Look at Wawasan Duoplo, you know, TM50, and all these other plans by the previous PM. By the way, this national auto policy is the final nail.
Yes, what was TN50?
Yeah, I
don't know.
I'm not sure.
We're not there yet, are we? yes. Okay, well, I did grow up in England. Mm-hmm. And so I grew up there and I witnessed the death of the British auto industry. And I saw many of the things that it had a thriving industry. And a lot of the cars that were on the roads here in Malaysia, most of them were British. Now there are no British cars. Well, pretty much none. But in case you got Lotus that produces like 3 cars a year. And one of the things that they did was to always consistently go for the lowest common denominator. They always wanted to make the cheapest car for the most people. Whereas the German car industry were always wanting to be aspirational and leading you up the ladder. And also, the Germans make better cars, better quality cars. And also, they made it for export. So I am seeing chilling reminders of what I witnessed previously with the death of the British auto industry.
So on that cheerful note, if you would like to weigh in on the NAP 2020, that's the National Automotive Policy, let us know. You know, it lays out the roadmap for the auto, or several roadmaps, in fact, for the growth of the automotive industry in the country. Let us know what you think of it. You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.